You might not realize it, but the state of Maine is in the timber business. Every year it earns several million dollars selling wood harvested from public lands, including Bigelow Preserve or Baxter State Park. In fact, lumber mills have come to depend on that supply of logs to keep the saws turning through early thaws and mud season. But now that arrangement is the focus of an investigation by the legislature's watchdog agency. The probe is exploring whether Governor Paula Page controlled the distribution of publicly harvested timber to retaliate against the owners of a Maine company with whom he had come into conflict. Steve Missler explains.
Jason Brochu jokes that sometimes the public image of a lumber mill is, quote, some guy missing three fingers running a saw. But Pleasant River Lumber in Dover Foxcroft is definitely not that.
So this is the meat and bones of it right here. This is every log that comes through gets scanned. And it's a geometrical scan. It's passing through a scanner, and it's looking at all the different properties of it.
The scanner analyzes each spruce log that comes into the mill, and it determines how many studs can be produced and at what length. The system, part of a multi-million-dollar investment in the mill, even checks commodity markets to see what the mill should produce to match consumer demand.
So sometimes you'll get a little less lumber out of a log, but the lumber's worth more because 2x4s might be higher than 2x6s or what have you.
This facility produces about 90 million board feet every year. It's one of four mills Jason and his brother Chris own in Maine, employing about 300 people. Much of the Brochu's lumber is sold as studs to building suppliers up and down the New England corridor and as far south as Baltimore. And each spruce board has a patented stamp of the American flag to reflect the company's Made in the USA ethos. It's an ethos that led the Brochu's directly into a conflict with Governor Paula Page over tariffs on Canadian softwood lumber. The Brochu's are part of the U.S. Lumber Coalition, an industry group that's been pushing for tariffs, which Jason Brochu says will help level the playing field between U.S. lumber companies and a Canadian industry that's heavily subsidized by the government.
For us, it's always been about level playing field. If it's not level, it needs to be level, because we can't compete against a government. We can compete against any mill, but we can't compete against a government.
But Governor LePage has been trying to convince the Trump administration to roll back existing tariffs on Quebec and New Brunswick. Last year, he accused the U.S. Lumber Coalition of corporate greed for opposing those efforts. The Brochu's responded with a newspaper column saying that LePage had made false claims and was pursuing, quote, a Canada First agenda. LePage fired back in a written statement calling out the Brochu's and their company by name. The dispute faded from public view, but then, without warning, public wood from the state of Maine stopped arriving at the Brochu's mill.
When the wood stopped, it stopped.
Jason Brochu says the loss of the wood supply became a real concern.
I mean, our reaction was disappointment, you know, because we got, you know, worried about running out of wood.
Lawmakers learned of the Brochu's predicament earlier this year, but they were unable to get approval from Governor LePage to interview officials at the Department of Agriculture. After several attempts, the governor stepped in to confront what he described as spurious accusations.
At no time was I diverting wood to hurt the Brochu's. Never.
LePage acknowledged to the members of the Agriculture Committee that 4,000 tons of publicly owned timber was diverted from the Brochu's mills in Dover Foxcroft and Jackman and shipped instead to Stratton Lumber, a Canadian-owned company. But LePage denied that he played a part in that decision.
Folks, I have had zero involvement. I have bigger fish to fry than to worry about what wood goes to any one mill.
But the governor did offer an explanation for why the wood was diverted to Stratton Lumber.
The reason that we did what we did was because there was a fire in the woods and a fellow bunch of burnt, and a mill was really dangerously close to running out of wood. So we shifted some wood over.
I don't know anything about the fire, to be honest with you. I don't know what that comment was about. So
Nicholas Fontaine is of Fontaine Lumber, which owns the mills in Stratton and Woburn, Quebec. He said the Stratton mill was running low, and he hoped the state could help. But he says he did not request the timber that was supposed to go to the Brochu's.
So just to be clear, I mean, you couldn't request it. It sounded like the wood just went to you. Is that a fair way to characterize this?
That's a fair way to characterize it.
LePage, meanwhile, has continued lobbying the Trump administration on the softwood tariff issue, an effort that's won praise from Canadian officials. In February, he accompanied New Brunswick Premier Brian Gallant and a delegation from the province to discuss the tariffs with officials from the U.S. Commerce Department in Washington. LePage also has deep personal ties to New Brunswick. He lived there for about 10 years while married to his first wife, Sharon Crabb, whose family owns mills just over the border of Aroostook County. And one of those Crabb mills was featured in a Canadian news report about the impacts of softwood tariffs.
Although Crabb's lumberyard is quite expansive, it's actually considered one of the smaller operations in the province, meaning cross-border tariffs hit places like this the hardest.
The governor's eldest daughter, Lisa LePage, once held a position in an economic development agency overseen by some of the same New Brunswick officials that the governor accompanied to that D.C. meeting with the Commerce Department. Those connections, the timeline of the public dispute with the Brochus, and the governor's reputation for punishing foes in both deed and rhetoric have raised a lot of questions about the timber diversion. The Brochus declined to speculate about any of it, but they say they will cooperate with the investigation by the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, or OPEGA, the legislature's watchdog agency. It's a probe the governor all but dared lawmakers to initiate back in March.
At least they have the right to put people under oath, and they have subpoena powers, because you're going to need them.
The government oversight committee that directs OPEGA is expected to meet later in May to discuss how to proceed with the inquiry. And some lawmakers on that committee have already acknowledged that subpoenas and sworn testimony might be the only way to complete the investigation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.